Next week, NASA astronaut Scott Kelly will blast off, bound for the International Space Station. He'll be up there for a year while his astronaut brother, Mark Kelly, is here on Earth. Scientists are hoping to study the identical twins and learn more about what time in space does to the human body. For his part, Mark Kelly has just written a children's book about twin brother astronauts who, as kids, build a rocket to go into space. It's called Astro Twins Project Blastoff, and Mark Kelly joins us from New York to talk about it. Mark Kelly, welcome back to Here and Now. And by the way, this is not your first children's book.
Well, so this is my third children's book and my fifth book overall. The first children's book I wrote as something I thought would be fun to do, you know, work with an illustrator. And I had a good story from my first space flight. We carried 18 mice on board the space station. And so I was able to come up with a good story there. This time around, it's more about encouraging kids to dream big, to be interested in engineering and science and rockets, and really to try to get them, you know, some of them anyway, not all of them, but get some of them focused on those STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, with a fun story to go with it.
Do you think that this kind of thing, writing a book for kids, can do that, can get them interested to the point where they decide to make it a career later on?
Maybe. You know, I don't know for sure, but I do feel I was a little pushing the limit a little bit with this stuff. I mean, it's certainly something that, you know, the sixth grade science teacher is going to be really excited about. I know some kids will. I mean, the fact that they can be reading this kid's book and then be introduced to the rocket equation, as an example, you know, which is, you know, it's algebra and it's physics all wrapped up in an equation, and to have that explained to them in a way they understand, I think for some kids this is going to be something that pushes them forward and hopefully have them go into, you know, fields of engineering and math and science.
Why do you think we have that problem in this country, that we don't have enough kids going in to these fields?
You know, I don't know. I imagine the government has done some studies on that. You know, we often find, and this is especially true with young women, that when they get to those early teen years, they get less interested in math and science and more interested in other things. It's also a problem with, you know, young teenage boys, and it's causing us to fall behind technologically from some other countries. You know, we don't have the strongest science, math, and engineering education system, and I'm talking about at the, you know, at the middle school and high school level. A lot of our folks catch up and do really well when they're in college, but it would be great if we could get more young men and women interested in these fields as they go off to college. And we've got to do something about it. So I'm just trying to do my small part.
Well, what got you and your brother into it? Because what an odd thing to have two twins decide that they both want to be astronauts.
Well, I grew up in the late 60s through the 70s. I was still in high school when the space shuttle flew its first mission in 1981. But for me, I became interested in space travel and rocket ships when we had astronauts going to the moon. I didn't think, you know, I didn't think for a second one day that that would be my future career. But I always made decisions. I felt, especially when I got to college, that I worked very hard in school. And I went into the Navy to fly airplanes off of an aircraft carrier, later went to grad school and became a test pilot. And eventually I found myself in the position to apply to be an astronaut and to be somewhat competitive. So, you know, to answer your question, I'd say it was those Apollo missions.
And throughout all of that and throughout your career as an astronaut, how much have you needed that basic science that you talk about in this book? We think of astronauts sort of, you know, floating around in the spaceship and walking around on the moon or whatever the images that we have. You don't think of them doing a lot of high-end physics while they're doing all of that.
Yeah, but, you know, the reality is to be able to operate something like the space shuttle or the lunar lander or the Apollo command module, those vehicles are very crew intensive. And what I mean by that is it takes a lot of workload by the crew members to operate it. And to operate something like that in, you know, this changing and unforgiving environment, an environment that's so much different than flying in the atmosphere, you got to really understand what's going on. I mean, when you try to do a rendezvous in space, it's an incredibly complex procedure that takes hours to join one spacecraft up with another. You've got to understand the orbital mechanics behind it, the physics behind it, the math behind it. Otherwise, you're just, you know, punching a bunch of buttons and you have no idea what you're doing. So the systems on board the space shuttle are really complicated. So, you know, my background as a marine engineer and then an aeronautical engineer was directly related to my ability to do that job.
Now, you and your brother are going to be participating in a study that, as he goes on to the International Space Station for a year, about identical twins and how space impacts the two of you while one of you is on Earth and one of you is up on the International Space Station. Can you tell us more about what you're hoping to learn from that?
So my brother launches to the International Space Station next Friday from Baikonur, Kazakhstan on a Russian rocket, and he's going to spend a year in space. This is a longer period of time than any American has ever spent in space before. It basically doubles the amount of time that we send people on these long-duration missions. And one of the reasons to do this is to learn what it's going to take to send somebody on a mission to Mars someday. We know just by the physics to do this, that first mission to the surface of Mars is probably going to be a couple years in duration. Well, we have data at the six-month point. We don't have any data on anybody out to a year. So this is our first attempt at doing this. Well, after they assigned my brother to this mission, they found themselves in an interesting place where they had the luxury of doing some additional science on my brother because he's a twin. So there's a bunch of different studies. I think there's 10 total that are done with a bunch of universities around the country like Johns Hopkins, University of Pennsylvania, Harvard Medical School, Stanford, and others that are going to look at, you know, what is the impact of spending a long period in time in space to the genetics of a human, you know, my brother and I, you know, bone loss and muscle loss and effects on the immune system and damage that we see in astronauts to their optic nerve and their vision. So we're going to study a bunch of these different things.
Do you wish you were the one who was going to be up in space?
Yeah. If I didn't have to spend a year, you know, a year anywhere is a long time. And
yeah,
the space station, while it's pretty big, you know, it has the internal volume of about a 4,000-square-foot house, so a very big house. But it's still like being locked in your house for a year.
You know, this brings me back to another interesting thing from your book, which is there's a lesson in there about the fact that not everyone who works on this rocket project is going to get to actually orbit the Earth. The people have to be a part of the team, but they might not get to do the most fun part of it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the case with NASA and our space program. It takes, you know, to launch the space shuttle into space, it took a small standing army of people, you know, people to get it ready for flight, people in mission control, people behind all the experiments and all the hardware and the maintenance of the space shuttle. And just a few people actually, you know, maybe 5, 6, or 7 people get to experience the spaceflight part of it. My message, though, you know, in the book is a little bit more about teamwork. You know, you point out that everybody can't go into space. It was actually just one of us, not even in the book, my brother and I, but just, you know, it turns out only one of us can go. But the message is that no single individual could do something like this by themselves, that it does take a team of people.
Mark Kelly, whose latest book is called Astro Twins, Project Blastoff. And Mark Kelly, before I let you go, I have to ask, people want to know, how is your wife, Gabby, doing?
She's doing great. She was here in New York City with me. She's actually in Connecticut right now, but she's doing really well. She continues to work hard. She does a lot of therapy, but she's in a good mood, and she's fighting back more than ever.
Great to hear. Mark Kelly, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're talking there about Gabrielle Giffords, the former congresswoman from Arizona who suffered a severe brain injury when she was shot in the head in 2011 at a supermarket near Tucson.